Hey, this is Anthony Cirillo, and I'd like to welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit, Kathy Bollinger. She's the Managing Director of Embracing Aging, York County Community Foundation, and heads their long-term care initiative, Embracing Aging, that focuses on culture change and how people experience aging in York County, Pennsylvania. Embracing Aging's goal is to create a community that is a safe, welcoming, appropriate, and adaptable place to age. In addition, Kathy develops and implements strategies to improve attitudes around aging, so that we can understand and care about the needs and perspectives of all ages. She's a monthly columnist for the York Sunday News, has presented at national aging conferences as part of national webinars focused on building aging-friendly communities, been featured on local radio, including Smart Talk with Scott Lamar and WITF Radio. At the invitation of Chairman Collins and Ranking Member Casey, Kathy was one of four witnesses selected to present testimony at the United States Senate Special Committee on Aging in May 2017. Pretty impressive. And she was personally recommended to me by Ashton Applewhite, Next Avenue's top influencer in aging for 2016. All right. Welcome, Kathy, to the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Thank you for having me, Anthony.
All right, let's just stem our topics ageism. So why don't we just start right there? What is ageism?
Ageism is the systemic stereotyping and discrimination of a person based on their age. It's the one ism that's universal to all people, and yet it largely goes unrecognized as an issue by the general public, and therefore it goes unchallenged. Let me just give one example as to how it goes unchallenged. When we celebrate older birthdays, we look at those over-the-hill gravestone images and other products that ridicule celebrating those older birthdays. Well, why is it acceptable to make fun and joke at these types of birthdays? We wouldn't do that for other stigmatized groups, meaning we wouldn't find it acceptable or tolerate products that diss people based on their race, their religion, their sexual orientation, and their gender. So why are we allowing it for aging?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And yet when we get those birthday cards, like I just turned 60, and you get them and you sort of chuckle. And so we've kind of indoctrinated ourselves for those things to be acceptable too. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So where does this ageism kind of come from?
Well, ageism is deeply rooted. And we actually start to develop negative attitudes on aging as young as age 6. And this is based on how we're raised, where we're raised, and the amount of time that we spend with older adults. What type of messages are we hearing about older adults and seeing? Maybe what type of media do we take in, and what are the messages they're saying about older adults? So it really starts as young as age 6.
And so from your opinion, going back to the media, just to stay on that for a second, what types of portrayals are the media given? I mean, I think I know what you're going to say, but I think other people need to know.
Sure. Well, sometimes some of the most negative stereotypes that we hear about older adults are that they're frail, that they're senile, that they're set in their ways, difficult, they're dependent on others. We often hear that they're lonely or grumpy or vulnerable or victims. And quite honestly, we hear that they're not sexually active. And too many times the narrative is that older adults are liabilities to a community versus being assets to a community. And you know, Anthony, there's no right or wrong way to age, and no one's going to age exactly the same. And there's really danger in putting these blanket assumptions on aging.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the media is getting a little bit better with some of these stereotypes. The CBS morning program last Sunday just previewed a woman. I'm going to totally forget her name, but she's a French artist who married Pablo Picasso. That would probably trigger it for some people. And when he was 40 years older than her.
Okay. Well,
so now she's something like 95, mm-hmm. actively paints every day. And watching that, it was like, this woman's remarkable. So yeah. I know negative stereotypes was one of our questions. So do you feel you kind of got to all the ones that you wanted to address? What other stereotypes might there be?
Yeah, I think that I hit some of the big ones. The thing that I want us all to remember, though, about why it's important to focus on negative stereotypes is, first of all, for individuals, when we have negative attitudes on aging, it can actually shorten our lifespan. There was a 2002 Levy longitudinal study done that actually showed that people who have positive self-perceptions on aging live 7.5 years longer than those who have negative or even neutral views on aging. So individually, it's really important that we address these stereotypes, but it's also important as a community that we address ageism. And here's why, because when we have these negative stereotypes, they just can become widely held in a community and therefore take on some sort of a social truth and actually can go unquestioned. And when we have people who are in the roles of making decisions for a community who are coming to the table with ageist attitudes, well, then they're not making decisions that are best for people of all ages. So whether it's developers, business owners, elected officials, funders, planners, the list goes on, they're coming to the table with those negative attitudes. And this is really damaging to a person because it will kind of make it as if we're forgetting about the older residents who live in our community, as if we're setting them aside. And that's not okay, because that can foster feelings of being depressed, being lonely, not feeling valued, and not feeling as if they're important to the community. And here in York County with our Embracing Aging Initiative, that's one of the reasons that we're really focusing on improving attitudes, like you said in our introduction, because we truly believe that improving attitudes really does increase understanding and caring about the needs and the perspectives of all ages in the community.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I had heard that statistic about positive perceptions of aging and how it actually adds to longevity. Mm-hmm. So let's dig a little down further, because, you know, we're talking about older adults who many times need more healthcare services than others, though that can be a stereotype too. But how do these impact caring for older adults? I mean, I'm going to go address a convention of nurses in Nevada in November, and they want me to talk about, you know, how they communicate better with older folks. So how, from a healthcare standpoint, how does ageism and you know, figuring out what to do about it impact just the healthcare provider to start?
Sure. Healthcare providers are just like anyone else in the society, so they might be prone to stereotyping older adults themselves. And when this might happen, because depending on their interactions with older adults, their scope or their time with them might only be in a hospital setting or in a nursing home setting. And when this happens, they might think of aging as only serious decline and correlate it that way. And the challenge with this is that based on the aging attitudes that they bring to the table, they might change the type of care that they're offering or the amount of care that they're offering. So they might be mistreating, undiagnosing, overtreating. So all sorts of ways that can play out. A few examples of this, one is that they might look at aging as a natural, or pain, excuse me, as a natural consequence of aging, versus, when we're younger, if something happens and we have pain, we go to a doctor and they're like, okay, well, there might be an injury or illness or disease. But when we're aging, it just seems to be like, oh, okay, well, you have pain because you're aging. And I've heard this story here in our community, and I've heard it at national conferences, excuse me, that I've attended, where someone goes in, a patient goes in to see a doctor, and they'll say, my left knee hurts. And the doctor says, well, what do you expect? You're 87 years old. And then the person says, well, then I expect my right knee to hurt, right? So, again, that's just one example. It also, ageism plays out in healthcare providers because they might put lower expectations on a patient, or they might think that their improvement doesn't have to be at the speed of maybe someone who's younger. So that could be dangerous, because if the improvement isn't happening and there's a reason for it other than aging, they're not going to be looking at that. I know my mother recently had knee surgery done, and she had some difficulties coming back from that. And it was very frustrating to me, because people were looking at her and doing what I call elder speak. And instead of calling her by her name, they were using terms like honey and sweetie to care for her, because I don't know why, they just felt that was okay to do. So those are some other ways that ageism can play out in healthcare providers, as well as maybe talking slowly, maybe talking loud, more loud, louder, all sorts of ways. One other thing I want to share, Anthony, about ageism and healthcare providers, and that's that our society is focused on youth. And because of that, sometimes when people say they're going into a career in gerontology or geriatrics, people are like, well, what are you doing that for? They mock it. They poke fun at it. They say that it's not as interesting, that it's not okay of a field to go into. As a matter of fact, I've even had someone here in York County say to me, oh, that aging stuff, it's okay, but it's not sexy like downtown revitalization. So why are we focusing on it, right? But in the healthcare field, at a time when we have more and more people becoming age 65 and older, we actually see decline in the number of people getting geriatrics training. So that's not okay. So that's from the lens of the healthcare provider, but I just want to take a minute and also answer from the lens of the caregiver. Because I honestly feel, and I'm sure you can agree with this, that caregivers are not getting the support they need. Public policy, they're just not getting the support they need. They don't get it in terms of wages and benefits, and there's so much more that we can be doing for the caregiver. And I really truly think that ageism plays a role in them not getting what they deserve for the work that they do. Also, if there's a family caregiver who might be employed in addition to being the family caregiver, their employer might not be as understanding or as flexible about the need for their employee to have to take off. So it just keeps festering and just kind of just keeps perpetuating, and we need to break that cycle.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, and great perspective on the healthcare providers. So embracing aging suggests three things individuals can do to help dismantle ageism. What's the first?
Well, the first is stand in front of a mirror and embrace your age. Say your age, your true age, don't lie about it, say your chronological age, and declare that you're the perfect age for you today. And after you've done that, then I want you to look in the mirror, and I don't care where you are on the age spectrum, I want you to do this. I want you to look and you say to yourself that, you know what, my worth is not measured based on what I can still do or what I can't do, and my worth is not measured based on what I look like. My worth is measured based on my whole story, the person that I am. And I got to tell you, I can't do cartwheels like I did at age 8. I certainly can't run as fast as I did at 21 or look the way I did at age 25. But you know what? I wouldn't trade my story that brought me to this point for anything, because that my story far outweighs my experiences, my relationship far outweighs that. So that's the first thing that people can do to dismantle ageism.
Great. So the second thing you say is check your own thoughts, words, and actions. What does that mean?
Yeah. So really think about what messages are you sending to others around you about aging and older adults as a group? Are you immediately assuming something when you come in contact with an older adult based on what they might look like from the outside? One example of this is, and I'm sure many of the viewers here today either have said this or heard someone say this, I'm having a senior moment. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means I'm having a forgetful moment. So why can't we just say I'm having a forgetful moment? Why do we have to insert senior in there and make it a put down on older age? Another example of what we hear people do all the time, and I know that they mean no ill intent by it, but yet it's really kind of saying that we put emphasis on what people look like, and the younger they look, the better they are. And that's the phrase, wow, you're 85? You look great for your age. Why do we have to say for your age? Why can't we just say, you look great? Why do we have to include that? And where is it written that an 85-year-old has to look a certain way? And what's wrong with having grayer hair or more wrinkles, age spots, crepey skin, whatever it might be? So that's the other thing with checking our words. And one other thing that I want to say on our messages that we're sending about aging. And this happened to me just the other day. I had someone in the car with me, and we were driving to an appointment. And there was a person in front of us, and the turn signal was left on, and they were driving below the speed limit. And finally, when we got to a place that we could pass them, the person who was driving past looked over, saw it was an older adult, and looked at me and says, well, that figures. Well, Anthony, that wasn't a good thing to say to me, because I was like, why would you say that? It doesn't figure. I know people of all ages who drive and don't drive the best. So in any event, that's what I mean by check your words and actions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I fell into that same trap when I told you about that 95-year-old woman. So I'm glad you didn't correct me. So what's the third thing people can do?
Sure. So the third thing is to get out there and really dispel the stereotypes, the myths. get out there in the community, speak up. Speak up when you hear someone doing a joke that puts down older adults or misinformation. I want you to really listen. Go out and meet and interact with older adults. Listen to their story and use this new knowledge that you got about aging to go out and advocate for older adults in the community. I'd really like you to monitor what the media is saying about aging and call them out when they're using ageist attitudes and words and actions. I'd also like you to really talk. Just talk about aging. I don't know why we think it's such a taboo subject. It's not. It's something that we all want to do. So let's talk about it and really have conversations around it. And finally, really be mindful of how the narrative is going in the country around aging. Way too often, you know, instead of celebrating the longevity that we have, I hear people referring to all the baby boomers who are aging as the silver tsunami. Not okay. Why would we use a catastrophic term like tsunami to talk about this wonderful thing of older adults aging? So just be, you know, mindful of the language and call people out on it.
Kathy, this has been a great conversation. I learned a lot of new things by talking to you today, and I want to thank you for being on the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Sure. Thank you, Anthony. I really enjoyed it.